Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Sweet Healing, Eliminating Diabetes and Disease Symptoms Naturally. According to the American Diabetes Association, over 29 million Americans suffer with diabetes. That's over 9% of the population, and this chronic disease condition remains the seventh leading cause of death in the United States. If ignored, diabetes will dramatically increase your risk of a heart attack, stroke, kidney problems, and blindness, to name just a few horrible health conditions. But what if all of this was avoidable? Would you believe me? Today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, we'll introduce you to an amazing health educator and author who just wrote a new book called Sweet Healing, A Whole Health Journey. No doubt, this show and the book has the potential to inspire anyone suffering with diabetes to take an active, empowering role in their recovery from sickness and achieve optimal health and energy. Nothing is more important than our health, so get ready to become motivated and take action today. Before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now please join me in welcoming Michael Bedard to our show. Michael, welcome.
Well, Jonathan, it's great to be with you.
Michael, why did you write this, you know, this book we could call a mystery suspense family fiction novel about natural health? What's going on?
Well, as you mentioned, being the seventh leading cause of death and the symptoms being horrible, I wanted to really present the proven knowledge that I've studied about type 2 diabetes and prediabetes and how it can be treated and reversed naturally in what is a growing talent that I feel like I have, which is to tell it in a story that people can relate to and feel magnetized to from opening to closing chapter, with the information richly coming out of the story for people to enjoy as well as learn a great deal for their health.
Yeah, Michael, I think that's what it's all about. And a lot of people may not be familiar with you. We have a background of going back many years now. I know you worked with Dr. Gabriel Cousins out west in Arizona. I'd like you to share a little bit more about, you know, your past, what you've gone through, and also most importantly about this book, how you went about this research for the book. Talk to us about it.
During the time that I was earning my master's degree, I had a thesis to complete. And what really came to me was I was interested in massive numbers of people's experiences with first being diagnosed and then what in the attitude, beliefs, and thoughts in their minds and hearts and souls led them to choose what turned out to be the most fulfilling outcome. That was usually a natural outcome, and then that usually had certain experiences and thought processes associated with it. And that usually led to certain food and lifestyle choices that led to the outcomes that were the most fulfilling. And this wasn't easy to get mathematically. I had to actually survey 200 people, all who had been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, ask them each 100 plus questions, and certain clear patterns emerged. This is the first study I know that really did this from a natural health committed perspective. So what I uncovered as a pattern was that amongst these 200 people, the people who had the most fulfilling outcomes were the people who had a sense of personal agency, the power in their lives to make a difference. And the second thing was emotional honesty, accepting where they were, being able to actually feel the feelings of, I feel despair that I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, or that I might not get to see my grandchildren grow up or my children get married. The sense of being honest, but also I feel excited to maybe try something different, or I feel, you know, nervous about what it would be like to be off medication. Emotional honesty and agency in the world were the two patterns that led to satisfying natural health outcomes. So I thought I would just write that up and three academics would read it, or I could take those results and write a novel, a parable that would be basically an amalgam of the most successful of those 200 people. And then people would really read that. They'd be really interested in, proven results, proven statistical outcomes, and a fantastic story that I used my storytelling background to put on paper.
So it's interesting the way you're describing it, Michael. I mean, so often I think a lot of people can relate to the idea, as horrible as it might be, you're diagnosed with something, right? And then obviously the most negative way to look at it would be to just feel like, oh my God, how could something like this happen to me, and just go into a complete state of depression and feel victimized by it, and maybe not even have much of a thought process about it at all, but just feel like there's no more hope. I mean, how dangerous a mindset is something like that, especially when you're dealing with a health problem, no?
Well, exactly. And like to everyone listening out there, like imagine yourself or someone you know finding that their blood sugar is really out of the range that we want it to be, and you're faced with this, like, the symptoms can be really devastating. So you're faced with a sense of uncertainty and maybe even fear and sense of, like, your body turning to this thing that used to be so friendly to you becoming a little bit opposed to you. And you have to face that. And with a story that people go through that exact process, it's actually comforting. It, but it also has a sense of drawing in your attention, because you want to find out, oh, this is written by someone with a research background that guides these characters to be very human and have a sense of growth, a trajectory where they deal with those emotions. They don't run away from them, and they deal with them, and they find food, lifestyle, and well-being choices that actually give them the outcome that they want, to return to that friendly sense of their body, return to that sense of being, to some degree, at cause of having the life they want to live for them and their families.
Michael, I had you on because I feel like your kind of work is so important to feature. Everything we do here at Natural Health 365 is to offer people options that they never see in the mainstream media. I warn people all the time about being careful where they're searching for their information. I mean, when it comes to diabetes, you have these television shows that are sponsored for, like, you know, D-Life or something, Diabetic Life, and they'll show these people in horrible conditions. They over-dramatize everything. And of course, the only thing that they're focused on is, you know, pricking the finger to see where blood sugar is at, what kind of medication are they on, how terrible is their life today. And, you know, like you say, let people watch stuff like this, like real life TV, and relate to people who are only suffering, right? And if they go on the internet and they search for diabetic information, hey, this is what we have for you. If you're diabetic, take all of these medications. And the whole environment is not presenting anything but a big pharma agenda. And it is so not the entire reality that's out there. I'm sure you can appreciate what I'm saying.
Well, what you're saying is on. And what I noticed in my research survey was that another key factor of outcomes that people felt fulfilled about was access to information that was coming from someone they know and trust, and that wasn't necessarily part of some system that is really there as a business. So friends, relatives, teachers, and articles that are somewhat off the beaten path. And I wrote that into the novel. In fact, there's, like, the key relationships are a neighbor-to-neighbor relationships, where someone who's been through their own path of their own discovering natural healing, their own discovering organic foods, raw foods, whole foods, outdoor-oriented lifestyle, is this informal mentor out of compassion and out of simpatico with their neighbor to actually help lead them along the way. So what you're saying is right on, and fortunately, there's a growing peer-to-peer relationships trend in the world that lets people learn from people who've actually had the grounded experience themselves, for sure.
I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in a delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Michael, I think this will probably be an interesting question to ask you. I mean, obviously, this is a fictional-based, right, book that you've written, a novel, if you will. And, you know, with fiction, you can kind of go all over the place, but I'm just curious how you kept the book so educational and then blending in that, you know, inspirational aspect and keeping it entertaining at the same time. I mean, in my mind, I'm not like the greatest writer in the world. That's a really challenging thing, no?
Well, I really want to thank the people who inspired me. That starts with my thesis advisor, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And also there was another writer who was a classmate of mine named Mike Chait, who wrote a book called Loops. And it was a parable-style book that helped people learn about another field of interest. It wasn't health, but it was just a parable that helped you learn based in research. So I just want to thank all the folks who actually influenced me to keep my work focused. And then the field of fiction that's really, it's been a long time since there have been books that totally teach us something that the collective mindset needs to learn. I mean, you could say that Way of the Peaceful Warrior was that in the 90s. It really struck a chord through fiction, but it taught us about personal growth and a meaningful set of values. You can even go back to the 70s with the book Ecotopia, which was a novel about creating a self-regenerating ecological society that then actually has become much more popular in the mainstream now, not with that book as being remembered, but with the impact on society. And then you had, you know, even the Celestine Prophecy with its nine insights, and you had this book Illusions about like spirituality through fiction. There's a few, and I just want to thank them for helping me see that. Oh, even the 1 Minute Manager, which was a small, simple story about how to be a better manager. They kept it focused on their area of expertise, and they had maybe a lucky time and lucky place to have the urge to write a story. And then something happens. I personally like would light a candle while I wrote and look for the characters to become so real to me that they would be real to the reader, and then the plot to be something that represents that the trajectory I saw in my research, but also a unique and captivating story that involves multiple generations, involves neighbors, all of whom play an important role in true holistic healing.
Yeah, Michael, I think that's what it's all about. So often I talk about this. People are diagnosed with certain disease conditions. And again, all due respect to the healthcare providers out there who are involved in something like this and for the people who get tangled up in this. I feel like so much of this is not such a malicious thing, but the doctors out there are only trained a certain way. They have like not blinders on, but they're so limited in their understanding and they regurgitate what they've been taught. And people are just sort of taught this is all you can do for certain conditions. And it really is quite sad because when people walk away from being diagnosed and told, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to take this drug. You know, you got to learn how to manage your condition. Never get rid of it. They never talk about that. That's just sort of teaching people that this is the only way to go. And it's simply not true. And it's also so disempowering. People feel so weakened from that experience. We want to have things in our life that make us feel more powerful, more happy. This is what it's all about. So having said all that, Michael, why don't we talk a little bit about a scene maybe out of the book? You know, give us a taste of what it is you do for the person that's going to read your book.
Yeah, that's a great, what you said is really true, and the uplifting sense of empowerment and possibility is in my book. It starts from a sense of who the characters are fundamentally. They never lose who they are. They never forget that they have a background and a personality, and they are not their disease. They have so much power as a soul and as an individual with a background and a family and a heritage that even when choices that they've made or conditions that they grew up in nutritionally come to their fruition and they suffer something quite dramatic, they remember that that doesn't define them. They have wisdom that even though they're spinning and lost temporarily. So I'll just summarize a chapter. After having been missing from the neighborhood for a few days because of hospitalization, a baseball rolls across the driveway at the moment when this character, his name is Gene Curtin. So baseball rolling across during his first attempt to walk. So there's a synchronicity. He's trying to walk again after he's been hospitalized, sadly lost some of his body, and he's really dealing with that. A neighbor comes through chasing his grandson, who's running after the baseball. And in a dialogue that's rich with sports metaphor and regular guy talk, there's this undertone of the neighbor, whose name is Don, teasing out the wisdom that Gene already knows, wisdom about, you know, where to look. You don't just look where the, you know, if you lost your keys here, you don't look where the light's shining there. Just like if you lost your baseball and you can see where there's no bushes there, but you know it went into the bushes, you look into the bushes. So sometimes you're in your own personal bushes in life, your own rough, and you have to look there. And Don helped Gene begin to do that through metaphor and through just fun, neighborly introductions to each other that leave a mark and leave an impact, present an inspiring message where Gene wants to come back for more. He's frustrated by Don knowing so much about him, it seems, already, because he's been through it already, and knowing so much about diabetes and what it feels like, but he's intrigued, and he comes out for more.
I think that's what it's all about as well. You know, so often I'm thinking to myself when I'm trying to help somebody, it really isn't about telling somebody what to do. Listen, I know what's best for you, Michael, and I see you're suffering with something, and if you just follow my instructions, everything will be all right. But what a powerful thing when someone, through, like you say, dialogue, an experience with something on their own, wow, do they really end up knowing something internally, making a decision on their own? You know, that person becomes unstoppable. And I think that's what it's all about overcoming, you know, serious obstacles like, you know, personal health situations like diabetes. So that to me is what it's all about. Talk to us a little bit, Michael, about what some of the readers are saying about the book. I mean, I know you're going around, you're meeting people who are reading this book. What's going on?
Yeah, beautifully said, Jonathan. And I'm fortunate that the immediate response has been full of giving me so much support to go out with this book. Recently, a reader here near me in Piedmont said that she felt so much more alive after reading it. She felt it was poignant. The flashbacks gave her a sense of character development that enriched her sense of herself, and nature felt brighter, and the taste, she described the taste of a persimmon she was eating here in the fall, and the persimmon tasted richer and had a more vivid orange. So there's that aspect of it. Another response has been that it's knocking me out, and it keeps getting better, and the important impact, of course, is when people say, ah, I use this for myself. People are saying they're excited to recommend it and buying it for their mother, their brother, their cousin, their in-law. That really gives me a sense of satisfaction.
So when people are talking to you about the book, are they really finding that this is something that's going to help them? Are they buying the book for somebody else? Or is it just sort of a combination of the two?
It's both. There's a lot of people buying it therapeutically. There's actually, you know, there's 7 foundational principles. There's a definite quantitative guideline that comes out through the book. And if they can not only learn those because they sound good and they're a good soundbite and they're good lip service, but they can see how the characters richly use that in their lives while dealing with the human condition and the human experience, they can really utilize that, and they know it's going to help their health, and they're buying it therapeutically. And then there's those who, like I said, it's actually good literature. It's simple. You read it, and you can easily follow what's happening at any age from adolescent up, and they're actually just, they like the read of it, and then they know someone that they can pass it on to who, you know, might just not be have the healthiest habits, and they want to empower them to be the best they can be. I'm all fine if it's used for prevention. Prevention is even better. If it can create a robust sense of health through the entertainment factor of it, and we have a prevention impact from that, great. And if it can be therapeutic for those who are, you know, already diagnosed or are taking small amounts of medication, also very good.
I just always tell people all the time, they've got to do more of this reading. It seems like reading's become a lost art. I think it's a matter of people being more mindful what's coming in on their emails. I think they have to become much more aware of what they're staring at on the internet. What's the agenda of these websites that are telling people, hey, this is how you take care of your health problem with this drug or that drug. It's really all about an environment, and I think that environment can be really quite dangerous for people. When I say environment, I mean all kinds of input, whether it's the people you hang out with and the things that you read, the things that you listen to, and the things that you start to say to yourself that you really believe are your quote-unquote only options. It can really be quite dangerous when someone is suffering with a health problem to think that there's only one way to take care of things, and then they don't get any of this other information. They really got to sort of open their minds up and try new things, right? How important is that?
Yeah, the open mind to new things, you know, it's like the belief that we could go to the moon or, you know, the 4-minute mile metaphor, let's use that. Like, it was just impossible until it's totally doable with putting in the focus and the practice. So with this book, I know that it's going to touch people with, like, oh, I just never knew that. I never knew that this was an option. And while being enthralled and engaged in an entertainment story, as well as having information presented enjoyably, it's going to really open up that sense of, oh, I can run this 4-minute mile. I can use natural logic, the ecological logic of holistic food, non-pesticide foods, non-GMO foods, local when you can, grow your own. Also, take time to just calm the thoughts. And like, these are the foundations that come out, but it's done in a way that's superbly like magnetic to read about.
And I want to make something perfectly clear. If you're listening to this for the first time, this kind of information, it is absolutely very doable to reverse a type 2 diabetic condition for sure. Even type 1 diabetes is possible to overcome some of these debilitating symptoms that you're suffering with. All of this can be really minimized. You can have such a tremendous lifestyle by changing the way you do things in your life. So, you know, again, if it's Sweet Healing, this book, or other things like this podcast, or hanging out with somebody else who just, you know, is giving you a much more positive support, that's what this is all about. I want to thank our sponsor one last time, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Michael, I know you're touring around these days like authors will do with a book and talking to a lot of people. You know, give us an idea how people can get in touch with you. What's your schedule like these days?
Here in the California area, I've been having book signings throughout the city, San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, San Rafael, and San Jose, Sunnyvale. And like you said, you know, when people come out, they actually get to meet friends and talk with other people that have a similar interest and an open mind. So by all means, you know, talk with people. And if that's your input to finding clues for your better health, do that. And if the book can help, use that. I'm also going to be going to New York to do a book signing tour, L.A. And you can follow me through the schedule listed on my website at readsweethealing.com.
Yeah, I think it's great what you're saying, too. If somebody gets a sense inside that they need to do something, right, and something sparks their interest, but so often the next thing that comes to their mind is, ah, no, forget it. I'm not going to go and meet Michael or, you know, go read that thing or go pick up that book or look into that thing. I'm not going to do it now. That sort of just kills it right there. And if they could just get up and go to the health food store, buy that book, wow, what that could set you off into a whole different direction. It's so much better for you, because I've personally heard that so many times. I've seen it in my own life, and I've heard it time and again from people who I've interviewed, talking to doctors who have thousands of patients per medical practice. This is just a common theme that comes up over and over again. Listen to that inner voice, no?
Listen to that voice, absolutely. That's one of the messages that comes out in the fiction I've woven. And listen to that voice, you know, wherever you are, whatever that voice is for you. Be honest with yourself. That's one of the lessons. And believe in that inner voice, absolutely. Because we know, we come from nature, we really do know. And that's my message. I didn't say I'm going to also Colorado, Texas, Arizona, the Chicagoland area, Northern Michigan, New England. So I just wanted to add that.
Absolutely. Michael, where can people get the book as well?
You can go to readsweethealing.com. It's my website. It has testimonials, a video, a blog, pictures. So it's readsweethealing.com. It'll take you to getting either a paper or ebook version.
Great. Michael, I just can't thank you enough. I hope you keep going on this tour, get this message out to as many people as possible. And thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure, Jonathan. Thank you all very much.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.